Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
I am delighted this morning to be with the leaders and also directors of Nurture Discipleship Proclamation and Evangelism. Thank you, Dr. Biagi, for the gracious invitation, introduction. I am so grateful for the wonderful presentation, Pastor Marcos. Those are insightful principles in relation to discipleship, reclamation, nurture, and also evangelism. This morning, what I'm going to present to you is actually what we are doing in Southern Asia Pacific Division.
Amen.
Okay. How the Lord bless our program in soul winning, nurture, discipleship, and also reclamation. This is a simple model. The reason why I am presenting this is for us also to see what are effective strategies that we have there. And then if it fits to your context, then you might as well apply that in your own context. So the title of my presentation is Integrated Evangelism Lifestyle, a Framework for Discipling, Nurturing, and Reclaiming in Southern Asia Pacific Division. So this is Southern Asia Pacific Division. Those of you who have visited the Philippines, this is the headquarters. So ISSD, actually. Southern Asia Pacific Division, but we call it ISSD. We are facing some challenges in Southern Asia Pacific Division. In fact, according to our statistics, that from 1997 to 2012, our membership reached already to 2,017,697. However, when there was an audit in 2012, then there we found out that there were 798,932 souls that were lost. So considering the loss that we have from 1997 to 2012, we have about 39.59%, or about 40% loss that we have.
Follows their world pattern.
Yeah. So that's our situation right there. And then reasons for leaving the church, of course, weak foundation for baptism, lack of nurturing, lack of friends and warmth in the church. These were among those cited as causes. This was reported in a five-year trend analysis in 2015 in Southern Asia Pacific Division. We also have challenges when it comes to the least entered cities in the 1040 windows, the least evangelized countries, the unreached people groups and cities. So those are the challenges that we have.
I'm sorry, just a clarification question. You, out of the 800,000, because even Dr. Twim did not explain that in his presentation, out of the 800,000, what percentage of those were converts and what percentage of those who we lost were members that were raised in the Adventist Church? Do you know?
We do not have. This is a general
statistics. So much of what we say that in connection with loss of membership from converts, but in reality, we're really including everybody. Mm-hmm. And in my research, I have found that more people are lost who are born and raised as Adventists than from conversion.
Yeah, yeah. So this is just a general statistics of what we lost from.
So this is including everybody.
Yeah, this is including everybody. Thank you very much. Okay. So because of the challenges that we have, then we started planning on how we will be able to address the issue. And this is from Ellen G. White. The Lord God of heaven would have the entire church devising ways and means whereby high and low, rich and poor may hear the message of truth. So we keep planning, you know, of how we will be able to address the issue. And of course, we tried a strategy, and this is what we call integrated evangelism lifestyle. Okay, from this IEL principle that we have in Southern Asia Pacific Division, last year we launched a program based on this framework, IEL, and we call it SSD for Christ. So SSD for Christ means seeking, saving, discipling.
Wow.
This SSD. Okay, so what is the program all about? It is a program of Southern Asia Pacific Division in cooperation with the Seventh-day Adventist World Church in promoting total member involvement initiative focused on empowering every church member as well as the departments of the church for integrated lifestyle, disciple-making, and evangelism, employing the structure of care group with Christ method as its guiding principle in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's the general description of SSD for Christ, which we launched last year. The vision of this program is every church member of Southern Asia Pacific Division will be totally involved in nurture, discipleship, reclamation, and evangelism. That's why our slogan was, each one, reach one. Last year, when we implemented the program based on the IEL principle, this was the result. We started with the care group in 2015, and we had a record in 2016. Our care groups were only 13,611. Then 2017 came, our care groups were 19,594. And because of our intensive training, then we were able to come up with 32,897 for the year 2018. And then these care groups were challenged to conduct evangelism. And last year, we were able to have care group evangelism 10,516. And then the reclaim, this is for the year 2018. Previous year's average is only about 3,000, 4,000. But last year, we were able to reclaim 12,652 souls. And then, of course, this is the baptism we had for the year 2018. The highest so far we had in baptism before 2018 was only between 72,000 to 80,000. But last year, the Lord blessed us with 126,293 because of the implementation that we have of the IEL program. Of course, we attributed the success to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who will be helping us. Okay, so we will go now to what is IEL. IEL is a missional framework of how church members and departments of Southern Asia Pacific Division work collaboratively with nurture, discipleship, reclamation, and evangelism. So I'm going to show you now the framework of Southern Asia Pacific Division, and we call it IEL, or Integrated Evangelism Lifestyle. Here is the biblical foundation. Okay, integrated, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, do all to the glory of God. So we always emphasize this to our church members that when we nurture, when we evangelize, when we reclaim, we are doing that for the glory of God. All of us are called for that. And then evangelism, of course, we identify with the mission of Jesus Christ, seek and save, that we can find in Luke 19:10, and then making disciples in Matthew 28:18-20. And then as far as lifestyle is concerned, I think and we believe that there is no other best lifestyle, and that is loving the Lord with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and also loving our neighbors as ourselves. So that's the biblical foundation. The focus of IEL is, of course, we have two focuses there. First is the personal life focus, and the other one is the church ministry's focus. Let me go into the personal life focus. Evangelism is integrated in one's lifestyle. In church ministry focus, integrated in nurture, discipleship, reclamation, the ministries. And then in churches, we do it through care group or small group. Thank you very much in sharing the principle of care groups. Okay. So personal lifestyle evangelism, as far as the scripture is concerned, this is in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness, risk, and respect. This means that we are the ambassadors of Christ and are called to show through our lifestyle and words that He is the Lord and Savior. So under the personal lifestyle evangelism, we have some expectations. Okay? God's power, authority, and empowerment are infused in our involvement for His glory, always demonstrating good Christian conduct as more convicting to those who are not in the faith or have backslidden. Witness is more rooted in our attitude than in our words. Passion and conviction of God, about God's love will show through to others. And then joy is indispensable in sharing love. It is not just we know, it is home we know. So it means that this personal lifestyle evangelism is our life radiates the love of Jesus, and it becomes the message to others. Even if we don't say anything, others will know already that we have the message of Jesus Christ in our lives. Okay, so this is coming from, I like these quotations from Ellen Joy. It said, the glory of the Church of God is in the piety of its members. And when we talk about piety, it's all about spirituality. For there is the hiding of Christ's power. So if everyone only have deep spirituality, then that spirituality becomes the power, and that power will influence others to Christianity. Okay, ministry integrated evangelism. Ministries witnessing are people-centered and not just program-centered. Programs are to help train and develop in relationship, not become a substitute for them. All ministries are integrated in its activities and programs to give glory to God. All departments collaborate in evangelism based on disciple-making as the main focus. All departments share resources with one goal, to seek and save souls. All departments commit, develop, adapt a culture of evangelism. Leadership is committed to own and support discipleship program. It also lead in mentoring and monitoring the discipleship activities. Leadership is committed to lead by rhetoric, inspiration, encouragement, and empowerment. And then when it comes to the churches have small groups, care groups to address the ministry involvement of church members with a view of maximization of their spiritual gifts and interests. Small groups, care groups are intentional and life-changing units of the church. Small groups or care groups are vehicles and infrastructure for the various ministry like nurturing, discipling, and reclaiming. Churches establish a culture of discipling, nurturing, and reclaiming, indicated in a contextual approaches and strategies. So that is an area of ministries focus. So here is the goal of discipling. Okay, of course, the focus of the church is making disciples. We know that, making disciples. That is in Matthew 28:18-20. But the goals of discipling is, of course, the first is to save people. But you know, the problem is with our church members, when they are already in the church, believing that they are already saved, we leave them. We don't care of them anymore. But you know, when we talk about discipling, we continue, we help them grow in their spirituality. We help them to be willing to suffer for Christ so that they will be committed in Him. And then we want them to, what's this? We want them to serve and then multiply. So here, they become disciples. But being a member, they become disciples. That is the goal of discipling. The ultimate aim, of course, is in Ephesians 4:12, perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ. So that's the goal of discipling. So I think it is here where we have to inform our church members that we do not just end in saving people. We just continue to help them until they become disciples. Okay, so this is in DR. Okay, in the lecture, I think the previous night, we understand that making disciple has some derivative activities like nurture and recognition. So when we make disciples, we include nurturing new believers, regular members, missing members, reclaiming, and also inactive members. So we are not only concerned of the missing members, there are also inactive members that we need to reclaim. The same, the goal of making disciples is to save, grow, willing to suffer, serve, and reproduce or become disciples. And then the ultimate goal is retention and commitment indicated in Ephesians 4:12. Okay, now I will go into the IEL framework. This is the framework, and this is what we are doing always to our church members when we have seminars. First, there is that mandate. Mandate is connecting and reflecting Christ's character in life. And I'm talking here about spirituality. Another one is mission, reach the world, making disciples. And then the manner of reaching the world or making disciples is through total member involvement. The method is Christ's method, as indicated discussed this morning. The means or the infrastructure on how we will be able to reach the world, involve our church members, and then apply Christ method is through care groups or small groups in churches. And of course, the motivating and mobilizing power is the Holy Spirit. So I would like to go into that one by one. Okay, so the first one is spirituality. We always emphasize to our church members that the most important and the priority, number one priority, it should always be spirituality. This is the quotation. Jesus does not release us from the necessity of effort, but he teaches that we are to make him first and last and best in everything. So we emphasize this to our church members. Okay. We also have Matthew 4:19, the invitation of Jesus, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. There are three important components of the call of Jesus. First, follow me. And that one is actually a relational call. This is a call to relate to Jesus Christ, which is a spirituality. So when Christ says, follow me, he's saying, be like me. And then I will make you, it is a transformational call, which involves the mind, the heart, and the entire being. And then when he says, fishers of men, it is a missional call for the advancement of God's kingdom. So, reach the world, our mission. Of course, our mission is found in Matthew 28:18-20. Okay? And I like very much the mission because it is sandwiched with two promises. All power and authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth, and then I will be with you even unto the end of the world. So I like very much. And then the command is here. The mission is here. Go, teach, baptize, and then this is our mission. Make disciples, which is very related to nurture discipleship.
The NDR, what means NDR?
Nurture, disciple, reclamation. Okay, okay, okay. And then IEL, integrated evangelism lifestyle. Okay. And of course, the call is in John 15:16. The call is God has chosen and ordained you, us, to bear fruits. That is making disciples, not only to bear fruits, but to remain those fruits. Okay? So when we talk about discipleship or making disciples, not just bearing fruits, but it is also remaining the fruits. That's why it is here where nurture, reclamation comes in. So this is a challenge to us leaders. Ellen G. White, Sister White says, God's plan for leaders is to give each one something to do for others, and all be taught how to work. Every church should be a training school for Christian workers. So we emphasize this to our pastors. So here is the relationship. We emphasize to our church members that there is always a relationship between spirituality and mission. In fact, we consider spirituality as foundation and mission is just an outgrowth. Okay? Spirituality is our walk in God, whereas mission is our work for God. Spirituality is our pilgrimage, but mission is our performance. Spirituality focuses on authenticity. We need to be authentic. But mission focuses on accomplishment. Spirituality focuses on character,
but mission focuses on competence. Spirituality focuses on integrity, but mission focuses on initiatives. That's why we have some programs. And then spirituality calls for rootedness, but mission calls for readiness. Spirituality is abiding in the King, but mission is advancing the knowledge of the King. Spirituality is cross-centered, but mission is cross-centered. Spirituality is intrinsic, but mission is extrinsic. Spirituality is all about being, but mission is about doing. And spirituality is timeless, but mission, you have to be timely. So we emphasize to them that there is really a relationship between spirituality and mission. But the number one priority first should be spirituality. And then when they are spiritual, then mission just follow. So the implications here is, before we do the Great Commission, we should first align to the chief mandate. Alignment always comes before the assignment. The Great Commission is not just an assignment from God. It calls for an alignment to God. Unless we align ourselves to Him, unless the way we are to walk is clear, the work we are to do can never be meaningfully accomplished. So that's the implication between spirituality and mission. Now I will go to total member involvement. So yes, we have the mandate, we have the mission. The manner of reaching the world is through total member involvement.
2 minutes.
Okay, here is the statement from Ellen G. White. The work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church members rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. Okay, moving into Christ method. Okay, the method. Okay, we have here Ministry of Healing, page 143. Okay, and then that one is compounded into the different components: contact, concern, compassion, care, confidence. The six C's, the method of Jesus Christ. And then we move into care groups. Okay, this was emphasized. Care group is God's design. Mrs. Ellen G. White mentioned that the formation of small companies is a basis of Christian effort has been presented to me by one who cannot hear. There is a large number in the church. Let the members form into small companies to work not only for the church members but for unbelievers. Okay, so care group becomes vehicles of evangelism. That's what we are doing there. And the functions of care group is pastoral care, discipleship, building community and relationship, assimilating, reclaiming and retaining, empowering members for ministry and mission, accountability for growth, multiplying disciples. Okay, and then the Christ method is being applied into the small groups, the six C's that I have mentioned to you already. So care group are involved in reclamation. Sages are assigned to territory, sage members divided by twos for visitation. So this is how the care group works in our territory. And then care group and nurture, this is also how care group, how we work with our care groups right there in Southern Asia Pacific Division. And then this is the care group evangelism. We have divided March and April, the care group leaders will have to conduct evangelism. And then it is followed up with church leader, elders, deacons, and laymen, May and June. And then pastors, directors, July and August. And then GC, those visiting evangelists from the GC, from the division. Then we have September and October, where we have the celebration, harvest celebration. So all of this are being supported by the care groups. Okay, so whenever the care group leaders conduct evangelism, the care groups are there. So all evangelism are care group based. And then we design a timeline for the care group evangelism where we incorporate nurturing, we incorporate discipling, and also reclaiming. So you will notice here that there is what we call discipleship and nurture of church members, pre-discipleship, evangelism, reclamation, and then post-discipleship. And then from this timeline, we break them down into months. Okay, so these are the activities of the timeline. Cultivation activities where there is community awareness, visibility, and then application of Christ method. And then sowing activities, home visitation, and then Bible study, evangelistic meetings, and then there are also reinforcing programs. And then the grand harvest activities. Okay, care group harvest in churches, grand harvest by district area, etc. And then centralized harvest. And then the highlight of the grand harvest is actually reaping campaigns. And then grand harvest celebration. We conducted this last year, where we have one union doing it in Mountain View College, where in 1 week we were able to baptize more than 7,000 people. Every day we have to baptize through the efforts of the care group. So this is the activity, Bible study and prayer, testimonies and the success of care group activities, education of the care groups and care group members, recognition of reclaimed church members, recognition for the contribution of churches, individuals, and institutions. And the highlights, of course, is the offering of souls to the Lord. I will, and then the nurture, of course, here is the nurture discipling activity, which transpired between November, December, November. And then the last of the framework is the motivation, or the mobilizing, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. I will be reading Acts 1. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So this is the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit. And this quotation from Ellen G. White, what we need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without this, we are no more filled to go forth to the world than we were the disciples after the crucifixion of the world. And then another quotation from Ellen G. White, it is the absence of the Spirit that makes the gospel ministry powerless, so powerless. Learning, talent, eloquence, every natural or acquired endowment may be possessed, but without the presence of the Spirit of God, no heart will be touched, no sinner won the Christ. So this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. But it is our work by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us His presence. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.